Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome tonight to the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, I guess that was the cold intro. So no music, no fanfare. Just welcome to the program. And thank you for joining us. This is Michael Boldea. I am, as Gino so poignantly stated, the host of the Light of Truth radio broadcast. And it's good to have you here on this oddly beautiful Thursday afternoon. It snowed again in Wisconsin this week. They're planning for more snow next Monday as well. So, boy, that global warming sure is keeping us nice and cool. What is it, climate change now? Because, you know, you could only call it global warming for so long. I mean, according to good old Al, we were supposed to be 10 feet underwater by now. Yes, Al Gore made $1 billion by fooling idiots into believing that global warming is not only man-made, but can be controlled by man, because there is nothing man likes more than playing God or pretending that he is God. So when you tell somebody of average to below average IQ that if they only use one square of toilet paper when they go to the bathroom, if they scotch tape a cow's behind so that it does not pass gas, you know, cow flatulence, greenhouse effect, all that good stuff, then they can save the planet. So there's a lot of smelly people in the world today because they went to the one square of toilet paper rule, and they haven't saved the planet. We haven't drowned due to oceans rising and swallowing us whole. In fact, we're not blistering from the sun. It's actually pretty chilly. So yes, it snowed again in good old Wisconsin. There's more snow planned. And in case you don't know, it's almost mid-April. And so it's an interesting year, to be sure. There has been a lot going on this past week. And for those that are wise and understand the signs of the times, it's disconcerting because you see the noose tightening. I think that any notion of privacy, any notion of free speech being absolute is on shaky ground, to be sure, given the revelations by Facebook. Oh yes, the Book of Faith, that thing upon which many a soul spend many an hour. Now they're saying that they even scan your instant messages, kids. So not just your Facebook page, your instant messages. Everything is collected. This is what is making me become a conspiracy theorist, because it was the conspiracy theorist some years ago that kept going on and on about Facebook collecting all the data possible from everything you do on it. And it was laughed off by the people who are now admitting, oh yeah, we've been doing that forever. So it's disconcerting. And I'm so tired of hearing that argument. Well, if you got nothing to hide, that's not the point. I don't have anything to hide. The most salacious thing that Facebook found in my instant messages was how to get rid of a corn on my little pinky toe. That was probably the worst thing. But that's not the point. The point is, it's your God-given right to keep things that you want to keep for yourself to yourself. it's astounding to me how few people really care about this story and about the fact that everything that can be cataloged and collected about you, your life, how you shop, where you shop, what you buy, when you buy it, what books you read, denomination you belong to, the people that you friended, the people that you've unfriended, everything is collected and cataloged. I kept joking about this with some friends, and I'm glad nobody followed through because I think somebody would have been knocking on their door. I said, you know, somebody should try this experiment every other week. Go to the same Home Depot, buy some lime, garbage bags, a shovel, and a rope. And just keep buying the same things over and over again on your credit card. See how long before there was a quote-unquote, you know, tip about untoward behavior. On the other side of the coin, it's astounding to me that with all the information available to law enforcement agencies and whatnot, there are so many people with mental problems getting through the cracks and shooting up places and killing innocent people and wounding others, depending on how good a shot they are. And it's one of those things where you wonder, are they letting these things through the cracks on purpose? Because whether you want to believe it or not, whether you like it or not, we are living in a surveillance society. Your face is seen by cameras and other things pretty much every day until you go to bed at night. And if you keep your phone close to your head, it's probably listening to you snore. So this is the world we're living in. Now, I wouldn't have that much of a problem with it if the powers that be, if the people surveilling you and I didn't also have an agenda and a narrative that they were pushing incessantly. Now, not only do they have an agenda and a narrative, they are beginning to silence those that have opposing views. And this is where your ears should really perk up. Because right now what they're attempting to do is create what, for lack of a better term, is a hive mind. Everyone needs to be in lockstep. Everyone needs to say the same thing. Everyone needs to believe the same thing. Everyone needs to follow the same person. And this will go a long way. You're wondering how it is that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he will be revered and followed by pretty much everyone except for those who are the elect? Because this is what they're pointing the world towards and have been for the last few decades. This idea of the hive mind. You're supposed to be in lockstep. If you're not in lockstep, you will be punished. You will be silenced. Your ability to earn a livelihood will be taken from you. You will be marginalized and criminalized and called names. Because I know that many of us Christians like fighting fair. Well, the other side doesn't. And I'm sick and tired of Pyrrhic victories. I keep hearing these pseudo so-called prophets and watchmen and men of God going on and on and on about their lunacy. And just, well, yeah, we have to be above the fray. We cannot stoop down to their level. And so what do? Shut up and take it? That's not what you were called to do. You were called to defend the truth. But see, I've been dealing with this more and more recently, where people just aren't understanding their role, what their duty is before a living God, what they ought to be doing. And it exacerbates the situation because on the other side, there are men who call themselves men of God. Well, we're not supposed to do anything. That's not our position. Our position is not to do anything. Then what good are you? If you're not salt, if you've lost your flavor, if you're being trampled upon by the godless and the heathen, and you're not even raising your voice in objection, what good are you? We like this idea of other people fighting our battles for us. We like this idea of, well, somebody's going to stand up and say something. But see, when that one person stands up and says something and takes one step forward, everybody else seems to be taking a step back and they're left alone, swinging in the wind. And because they're alone and no one else will speak up, they get bludgeoned until they just throw their hands up in the air and go, you people aren't worth it. The abuse heaped upon those who are willing to stand and to fight is so egregious that many of them are simply throwing their hands up in the air and just giving up. Because no one else will stand beside them. No one else will raise their voices in unison and say, hey, this needs to end and it needs to end now. No, we don't stoop to their level. Stooping to their level, all you're doing is speaking the truth. See, they're willing to lie and pervert the truth. They're willing to just label people the most heinous things. They're willing to destroy someone's life, family, livelihood, reputation because that person stands against their agenda. Gee, fighting fair doesn't mean you're supposed to be silent. You can just speak the truth, and it's enough. Because truth is what is missing in today's day and age. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about regarding the Book of Face. And by the way, if you spend more than 5 minutes on Facebook, you should spend that time praying. You'll get a lot more out of life. There's an article that was written by one Lucas Nolan on April the 5th, which is, by all accounts, I think today. And it says, in a recent call with members of the media, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg commented on the company's treatment of private data by saying that when building an unprecedented platform like Facebook, there are going to be things that you mess up. No, this is willful. I'm sorry. It wasn't anybody messing. It wasn't an oopsie. This was not an oopsie. But they want to make you think that it is. Because if you realize just how nefarious their agenda is, if you realize that 24/7, without pause, every single day, including Christmas and New Year, no federal holidays, no vacation days, these people are trying to propagandize you and your children, and they're making billions of dollars doing it, then perhaps you'll wake up from your self-induced stupor and actually say something about it. And so now they're hiding behind the oopsie. Oopsie. You know, there are going to be things that you mess up. No, this was willful. They knew exactly what they were doing. So let's not go down the oopsie road, huh? Because that's the same excuse fully grown men use when they willfully commit sin. Oopsie. It was a misstep. Was it? Was it really? So yeah, when you start out your defense by saying oopsie, that's when I would ask that you allow me to be a bit skeptical. So, speaking to a number of reporters and media professionals, including Breitbart News, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg answered questions about the future of Facebook following the company's latest user data scandal. The company revealed earlier today that more user data was accessed by data analysis firm Cambridge Analytica than previously thought. Oh, K-Surpree. In total, we believe the Facebook information of up to 87 million people, mostly in the U.S., may have been improperly shared with Cambridge Analytica, stated Facebook. What relevance does the Cambridge Analytica scandal have? Well, they took all the data from these 87 million people and they created a narrative and they began to propagandize post-haste, and they almost succeeded, man. It was like this close. Because we wouldn't be talking about free speech as in we need to defend it right now had the other side won. We would be talking about free speech as in, hey, it was kind of great if the other side had won. You need to understand that their agenda, the plans that they had, were just completely wrecked by the fact that this current administration came to power. They would have been so far along by now. And your silencing would have been almost complete. Because that is what you need to do in order to control the populace. First and foremost, you take away their right to defend themselves, their ability to defend themselves. You criminalize their ability to defend themselves. And then you dictate the narrative. And anybody that falls out of line of the narrative, well, they just get bludgeoned. What was it? In China now, you can't buy Bibles online anymore. They're tearing down churches because people who believe in God do not conform to the narrative. This would have been our lot today. I believe that wholeheartedly. Had things gone a different way last year. Even so, I think we've only got 4 years, and then because nobody gives value. Nobody assigns value to the valuable things in life anymore. It's the scariest thing of all, where you have an up-and-coming generation that is utterly and completely of its history. They've done a great job of erasing the history of this nation to such an extent where the young don't know how this nation was founded. And what its founders had to go through and how much blood was shed to get to this point. But let's get back to the oopsie and realize that it wasn't, and that if they're admitting to this, things were probably a lot worse. Because that's always... That's always the recommended path, isn't it? If you know you're going to get caught doing something really naughty, you admit to something less naughty real quick and people stop looking. People stop digging. People stop investigating. And I think this is why they came out in front of this. I think if, reporters, the DOJ, somebody does their due diligence on this, they'll realize just how nefarious this entire thing was. I don't think it ends here. But they're getting out in front of it, hoping that, you know, well, this was it. We did it. Ha ha. Oopsie. Now let's get back to posting videos of our kittens and sharing our most intimate of intimacies with Facebook friends, because we no longer have real friends because we spend all our time on Facebook. You know, thankfully, I don't believe that historians will write about this time, because there will be no historians to write about it. I do believe we're living in the end of the age. I think the clock is winding down. All the major players are in place. All the animosities that need to be ratcheted up in order to produce what the Word of God says will occur during these last days is coming to pass. I read recently that Vladimir Putin, what did I tell you before the election? Vladimir Putin is just waiting to get elected before he starts making moves. Well, guess what? Making moves he is. Apparently he cemented his friendship with none other than Iran, or Iran, as Americans would say, and Turkey. No, not the poultry, but the nation. So they have strengthened relations and friendships, Russia, Turkey, and Iran, while all the while the Democrats in their hissy fit about Russian collusion is making our relationship with the Russians all the more fractured. I think that Trump did a smart thing by inviting Putin to the White House. I don't know if it's going to play out. I think that look, there are people in this nation who do not want the best for this nation. There are people currently in this nation who desire and lust. They dream, they fantasize about the downfall of this nation. And the odd thing to me is a lot of these people are what you might call successful. The self-loathing and self-hatred because they made it so easy. I don't know what it is, but a psychiatrist, man, give a psychiatrist 50 lifetimes and they still wouldn't unravel the minds of some of these lunatics. But there are people who are actively looking forward to seeing the fracturing of this nation, and they're doing their utmost, including giving up their not-so-hard-earned money to organizations and groups whose singular desire is to see the weakening of this nation and the fracturing thereof. So we are living perilous times, and I think the pieces on the chessboard are moving swifter and swifter and faster and faster. And every time you turn around and every time you take a look at the situation from a different angle, you begin to see just how masterfully things have fallen into place. Look, people are openly talking about civil war in this nation again. People are actively talking about things that were foretold 20 and 30 years ago and things that were laughed at, because the other side will not stop. They got too close for them to stop now, and so they'll keep pushing and pushing. They'll keep pushing on two fronts. To take away your freedom of speech, and the only way that they can take away your freedom of speech is if they can take away your freedom and ability to defend yourself. Understand me here, all right? All every single one of the navel gazers and Facebook prophets that keep going on and on about their all right, I wasn't going to get into this, but I'm going to get into it because I'm angry. And I'm righteously angry, so it's not a sin kind of anger. It's just a righteous anger, because I've had enough of this. Look, don't call yourself a prophet if all you're doing is reading headlines and going, "Oh my gosh, folks, it's happening." All right, so let's not. Let's stop there. All right, analyzing the news and foretelling an event before it occurs, two very different things. One of them does not a prophet make. So, for all of those, well, what are we supposed to do? Something. Anything. Acknowledge the fact that, yes, without a Second Amendment, you will have no First Amendment. Without a First Amendment, you will lose your ability to speak. Now, I know there are some who are like Jonah, just sitting under the palm tree, just waiting for it all to burn to the ground. I am not one of those people. I know what the future holds. I'm fighting tooth and nail against it. And I think that's my duty before God. My duty before God is to do my utmost to either put off judgment for as long as possible, perhaps even into the next generation. I'm doubtful, but I'm still fighting. Look, I understand that there's this it's not intellectual dishonesty. It's an intellectual fragmentation. I know that even if I do my best, I will fail at what I'm attempting to accomplish. Yet I have to do it nevertheless. That's the best way I can phrase it right now. I know that even if I do my best, I will fail at it. There's no saving America. I'm sorry. For those of you that are hoping, even praying that they're saving, no, there is no saving America. America chose its path a while ago. Now, we've been given stays of execution, if you will. We've been given seasons in which to work. But the trajectory is still the trajectory. We're still headed down the same path. See, the only thing that would make me hopeful about saving America would be a nationwide repentance, and that's never going to happen. You and I both know this. But that doesn't mean we should stop preaching the gospel. That does not mean we should stop preaching Christ. That does not mean that we should stop being active in the kingdom of God. All it means is that there's a time limit on how much we can do. The hour is late. The night is coming. That doesn't mean you have to stop working. That means it should work all that much more, knowing that the night is coming. So anyway, let's get back to this, to see just how nefarious this entire situation is. It's not an oopsie. I'm going to keep repeating that, because that's what you need to take away from this. They're going to keep hammering at this. Well, it was just an accident. It was a mistake. It was an oopsie. It was not. Facebook made billions upon billions of dollars by selling every single piece of data that they had on you. And you are being propagandized, and you are being marketed to, and your children are being propagandized and marketed to 24/7, 365. So, let's continue here. During the call held earlier today, NBC tech correspondent Alyssa Newcomb asked Zuckerberg, you've said in the past that you've clearly made some mistakes. Do you still feel like you're the best person to run Facebook moving forward? Zuckerberg gave a short reply initially, simply stating, yes. Duh. Really? What does him being the best person to run Facebook have to do with the fact that they were using their platform as a data collection point that they then sold to, Cambridge Analytica and the such? Again, so let's continue. He then continued after a brief pause, I think life is about learning from the mistakes and figuring out what you need to do to move forward. And you know, a lot of the times people ask, what are the big mistakes that you made early on starting the company, or what would you try to do differently? Zuckerberg continued, I think the reality of a lot of this is that when you're building something like Facebook, which is unprecedented in the world, indeed, there are going to be things that you mess up. And if we'd gotten this right, we would have messed something else up. No, you wouldn't have. This wasn't, again, oopsie. Let's get back to the oopsie. We messed up. It was an accident. We did an oopsie. No, it was very well thought out. It was very well planned. I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of his life, Zuckerberg doesn't write a book talking about how from its inception, this is what Facebook was intended to do. To be a data collection point. And I don't think anyone's going to be perfect, he continued, but I think what people should hold us accountable for is learning from the mistakes and continue doing better and continuing to evolve our view of what your responsibility is. At the end of the day, we're building things that people like and that makes their lives better. Does it? Now, honestly, come on. Let's you and I chit-chat, if you will. Does Facebook make your life better? That's an open-ended question. Does Facebook make your life better? Really, does the cheap validation from some stranger saying, oh my gosh, your hair is so nice, make your life better? Because if it does, then I truly, truly am very sorry about the emptiness that you live. If something like Facebook makes your life better, then that's a sad existence. Because what makes my life better is my wife and my children and cooking breakfast in the morning when everyone's awake and watching a sunrise or seeing a deer hop across the road. What makes my life better is actually living human beings and interacting with them. What makes my life better is knowing that I am loved of God and understanding that love in a more profound way every single day. What makes my life better is fellowship. What makes my life better is intimacy with Christ. I can list 10,000 things that make my life better. Facebook won't be among them. But see, this is the hubris. We build something that makes people's life better. Yeah. Disconnected, disenfranchised, 13-year-olds committing suicide because they're getting bullied on what you built on the Book of Face. Making lives better everywhere. Hooey, all right. And he continued to, you know, be self-congratulatory. At the end of the day, we're building things that people like and that matter, make their lives better. And I think that it's important not to lose sight of that through all of this. Yes, Farmville truly does make your life better. You become so productive playing Farmville. I don't know. That's the last time that somebody invited me to do something. I think there's probably a new game out there because Farmville's a little, you know, dated. It's a little old, but oh lordy, it's Facebook is making your life better, and you shouldn't lose sight of that. So it doesn't matter that you're basically being used as a guinea pig. You are seen as simply something to be monetized, that you are seen simply as something to be propagandized, that you are seen simply as something to be merchandised. I think that it's important that you don't lose sight of the fact that Facebook makes your life better. I've not heard a more laughable statement in a very long time. So he continues and he says, I'm the first to admit that we didn't take a broad enough view of what our responsibilities were, but I also think it's important to keep in mind that there are billions of people who love the services that we are building because they're getting real value in being able to connect and build relationships. It's not a relationship. Anyway, and build relationships on a day-to-day basis. And that's something I'm really proud of our company for doing. And I know that we're going to keep on doing that. Building relationships. Oh, how we've redefined every noble thing, including the word relationship. So, yes, remember, Facebook made your life better, so it's okay that they're snooping and spying and collecting data that they have no business collecting, and then selling it for a hefty profit to companies that will then do their utmost to try to sway you in your positioning, in your thinking, in your voting, and everything else. Now, while all this is going on a different front, the governor of Oregon has said that she refuses to send National Guard troops to the Mexican border. What is that about? Well, in case you haven't heard, because the wall was not funded in the omnibus spending bill, which is just a catastrophe. I'm always going to be above board. I think it was a horrible idea that this bill was signed. I understand the reasoning behind it, but it was a horrible, horrible idea that it was signed. Now, there was no funding or very minimal funding for the wall. And seeing as there was minimal funding for the wall, all these Latin American countries have sent out the bat signal to their citizenry. If you don't have a job, if you can't read, if you can't write, if you walk with a limp and don't know how to use indoor plumbing, it's time for you to try to make it across the border before they build that wall. You still have time. So a caravan of folk started their journey trying to get to America. And Donald Trump said, nay, we're going to not let you in. We're going to put the National Guard on the border to defend our borders, because a nation without borders, dear children, is no nation at all. This is one of those things that really is not up for debate. So that is the context. And then, of course, Oregon. I'm surprised that California didn't follow suit. But the governor of Oregon said sternly that she would not send National Guard troops to the Mexican border. Now, it's called the National Guard. It's not called the State Guard. The president, the sitting president, whoever that might be, has the right to call on the National Guard to defend the nation against invasion. I think that, again, self-destructive tendency. What can you say about the self-destructive tendency where elected officials are coming out and actively saying, we're going to disobey an order, a mandate from the president. We're not going to do anything about people who are coming illegally, people who are not supposed to be within our borders. We're not going to do anything about them. What can you do? You've got elected officials choosing to work against the best interests of their constituency. Now, the Pentagon did announce that it was standing up a new cell to support President Trump's activation of National Guard troops along the U.S. border with Mexico. They felt as though they had to point out that this is not business as usual, and the cell will last for the foreseeable future to make sure we surge our capacity to meet the president's enhanced border security goals. Why is it? Let's be honest. Why do you think so many on the other side are against securing the borders of this nation? Because contrary to popular belief, contrary to what they would have you believe, it's not toddlers crawling across the border with their pacifiers in tow. It's able-bodied adults, 18 to 30-something. People that, in a different context, one would scratch their head and go, hey, all these people crossing the border are kind of fighting age. We should really look into that. But again, it's the disingenuousness of the other side. The establishment of the cell comes after President Trump announced on Thursday that he was activating the National Guard to support border security along the U.S. border with Mexico. White said the cell would be led by Ken Rapano, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Homeland Defense and Global Security. What's that noise? And be staffed with Defense Department policy staff and military officials from the Joint Chiefs of Staffs. She said the cell will be a 24/7 and will be the conduit between the Pentagon and the Department of Homeland Security as the two departments work together on border security. So I'm looking for another distraction from this, because this is always how the other side operates. Whenever there is some sort of momentum, whenever there is some sort of forward motion, they come up with some other foolish story that has no basis in truth, that cannot be validated or proven, but that will just occupy the news cycle for days on end. They've been doing this for a year and a half. Every single week, the news cycle is occupied with something else. Guess what? The whole Russia probe thing? Yeah, Mueller came out and actually had to admit that the president is not under criminal investigation. This thing has moved so far from the notion of collusion. Now it's obstruction. Now it's, I don't know. Have you ever had Russian dressing? I don't know. I don't think so. Have you ever had Thousand Island dressing? I have. Well, that's got Russian dressing in it, so you must be a co-conspirator. It's gotten ridiculous. And the other side is still hoping against hope that there will be some sort of miracle, that after all this time, somebody, anybody, will pull a rabbit out of the proverbial hat and get Donald Trump impeached. It's not looking too good for the other side, oddly enough. And rather than hoping to see the downfall of this current administration, maybe the other side should start wondering who they're going to throw up as the candidate for the Democratic Party in 2020. Let's see. What else has been happening? There was a 5.3 earthquake, magnitude earthquake, off the coast of Southern California. Is the big one coming? Eventually, yes. Do I know when? No, I do not. But I guarantee you that Facebook prophets will all come out of the woodwork making predictions, because this California earthquake occurred. See, that's not prophecy. It's Concluding something based on the news does not prophecy make. Let's make that clear. One thing that ought to be discussed, and probably more at length than we have time for tonight, is the fact that this entire tariff back and forth is escalating between China and the old U.S. of A. So now they're talking an additional $100 billion in tariffs on the Chinese. And one thing that we have to sort of understand is that the Chinese are holding a lot of American debt. There, I don't know how much they have in U.S. treasuries, but believe you me, if they decide to dump all the U.S. treasuries they hold overnight, you're going to see the stock market back at about 7,500. It would be a bloodbath beyond anything you can imagine. Are they going to do that? Highly doubtful. But it all depends how far past rhetoric they get. Because, you know, it's one thing to put a tariff on aluminium. It's quite another when okay, I found it. China holds $1.17 trillion. Let that sink in. Let it sink in. $1.17 trillion. In U.S. treasuries as of the end of January, making it the largest of America's foreign creditors and the number two overall owner of U.S. government bonds after the Federal Reserve. So after the Federal Reserve, China holds the most government bonds that are by the United States of America. Oh, so consider that just for a second. $1.17 trillion. And you're telling me we could afford this omnibus bill? Now, no, it wouldn't put a dent in it. All right. See, you done made me do it. You done made me do it, as the kids like to say. We have been living above our means as a nation for so long. We've been giving handouts to anyone that would ask, be they nation, state, individual. The last administration flew plane loads of cash to Iran. What was it? $600 million in cash. Now, I know it's not $1.17 trillion, but, you know, $600 million there, half a billion here, $2 billion there, adds up. It adds up. So, if we've been living above our means for decades, if we're getting deeper and deeper into debt, and we're unwilling to change our spending practices, and we're unwilling to try to curb everything that we're doing that we know is detrimental it's detrimental to the longevity of this nation. But see, we're addicted to it. This nation is addicted to spending. And it's scary to me that a nation like China, who for all intents and purposes, we've decided to have a trade squabble with. It's not really a trade war yet, but let's just call it a trade squabble. When a nation like China, whom we are having a trade squabble with, holds $1.17 trillion of our debt, I don't know how comfortably I'd be sleeping at night. It's a decidedly scary situation. Because, again, if they decide that they're going to dump all the U.S. debt that they hold, second only to the U.S. Treasury, if they decide to dump that, the U.S. dollar will lose, 26, 28, 30% of its value overnight. I don't care who you are. That'll put a hurt on you. Will they do that? I don't know. Is it likely? Eventually, yes. Because if we take into context all the prophecies that have been given over the years regarding the last days and the way that they will play out, eventually China and Russia, again, oddly enough, the two nations that are currently embroiled in animosity with the U.S., eventually China and Russia will come against this nation. That has been foretold in prophecy, and we're beginning to see the pieces falling into place. So, knowing everything that we know and seeing the world as it is through the prism of the prophetic, is this an opportune time to sit on the sidelines and do nothing? Is this an opportune time to pretend as though the things that are happening really aren't? Is this an opportune time to ignore the writing on the wall? Is this an opportune time to be silent? Or is this an opportune time to prepare for the battle that we know is at hand? Those are the questions that we must ask ourselves this night. And they're not easy questions. But, see, we ran out of easy questions a long time ago, I think. And we ran out of black and white answers a long time ago. Nothing's black and white anymore. And so you have to use discernment, and you have to be wise as a serpent. And you have to drudge through the inanities and the propaganda in order to get to the truth, in order to understand what is truly going on, in order to perceive with spiritual eyes things that can only be perceived through spiritual eyes. The hour is late and getting later still. And I think that very shortly there will be a great shaking that will stir the world anew. Do I want it to happen? No, I don't. Like I said, I'm enjoying my season of peace immensely. I'm enjoying watching my daughters grow up. I'm enjoying my time with my wife and my family. I'm enjoying the peace. But I know that peace will be taken from the earth shortly. And I'm preparing for that as well. Maybe you ought to prepare for it too. As always, I thank you for joining us. I thank you for taking the time and listening to our program. Please keep us in your prayers. And Lord willing, we will be with you again next week. No crying children this time, thankfully. So hopefully next time, no crying children again. But I can't make any promises. Until next time, may God bless you. May God keep you. And with that, Gino, it's all yours.
You know, the Bible says when they say peace, peace, sudden destruction will come. And, you know, God, even though we've gotten a reprieve and even though we've gotten, as Mike calls it, stay of execution, it doesn't mean, as Mike said, that judgment's not going to happen. And the church needs to stop sinning in silence. You know, the church needs to wake up. And I think this program's very poignant. And I pulled several very powerful things from the show tonight. One is that, and I think Michael was very emphatic about it, that judgment at some point is imminent on America. And that is why the church needs to wake up and be aware, as Lot and others were, of what's coming and walk close to the Lord and live right and not make excuses for it. And our ministry, which has been blowing this trumpet, and Michael and his family have been doing it from the very early 80s in America, was blowing this trumpet and warning when churches didn't want to hear it for the most part. Demetri used to say after some meetings, it'd be like throwing peas against the wall. Well, I would urge everyone out there, whether that listen to the broadcast, don't be afraid and don't be timid in warning and blowing a trumpet and, you know, alerting folks that trouble's coming. Because the other thing Mike said is soon, at some point, peace will be taken away. And, you know, we have to realize that we have this time, this window, to be awake, to watch, to stand up, rise up, and speak up. With that, please consider, if you have a question, send it into lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. And again, let people be aware of the website, handofhelp.com, the books, the messages, music, and other things that I think are very poignant for the hour that we're in. God bless you. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.